you, Chair. Just to remind me, Mr. The first question was in relation to equitable remuneration. And if it has an established meaning and artists are still exploited, apologies, let me just make this a bit bigger. And artists are still being exploited, then why, you know, shouldn't we define the term? And we looked actually at the history, and we could find equitable remuneration in the first act, obviously the original Performance Protection Act, it was there. But then it was repealed by the 1997 Act. So from 1997, equitable remuneration did not feature in the Performance Protection Act. And we would like to then venture that that is probably why we've had that exploitation. The problem, considering a definition, the problem just that we have is it is a broad term. So if you start defining, you know, some of the comments and the criticism that we received was that, but it doesn't exclude, this does not make provision for this type of remuneration or that type of remuneration. You need to say all of this explicitly. And the argument is no, but equitable remuneration would be any remuneration that is equitable. So it is broad by its nature. And then, of course, the question on the pre-purchase agreement, we fully agree with that. That is not something that should be in this bill. If parties make that into an agreement, it will be a gentleman's agreement, but it will not be enforceable by law. And that is it. Then if you want.
Okay. Are we fine? Okay. Colleagues, on this one, in other words, what we do, the input to include the word to put the pre-purchase fee or residual, the team says is not advisable to do that, and we agree. The DDG also indicated that it's in line with the treaty, in terms of the treaty. The most important thing, let's not only refer to the treaties, and we don't move in ratification of them. Because we don't want to be having an incomplete work. Where treaties are being referred to, we're trying to align to those treaties. Let's ensure that the instruments are complete in terms of South African processes. Very key. The other matter she raised, the other issue where people are just wanting to do pre-purchase there and there on their feet, the matters are covered by contractual law that we have also captured it well. We close the matter around section 3, subsection 4, and subsection A and G. We must just apologize, colleagues, the manner we ran in and out. When we discuss the program, Comrade Whip, let's not have the incident again. It looks clumsy. Let's find a way in as much today. The agenda, the program, it was too tight, the approvers of the reports. And the others, they struggled to walk much faster. Some of us are a little bit much faster, like me and the Whip are much faster. No, but you love things, you should... Now we go to the next slide number 5, and we are moving on. Comrade Lerato Siaku, we are going to the distribution right. Clause 2, subsection 3, 4 is H, and clause 4, section 5A, Roman figure 7. If there's a statement there, I'll allow advocate to take you through, honourable members.
Thank you, Chair. The distribution right is something that just expands on the right of a performer. This was added in the Copyright Amendment Bill after the panel's inputs, and we then realised that it wasn't in the Performance Protection Act. So we've added it here, but there were no inputs received on that, so it seems it is acceptable to the public.
And yourselves, honourable members, remember you discussed the wording on the distribution right, you agreed with it at the time. We proceed on this one with your permission. There was no input on what you advertised. Now we go to slide number 6. Still on, now we're on clause 3. Section 3A, subsection 3, A, B, B sub Roman, B1. Then it's about standard terms and condition and minimum content. That's the right word. The TCMN stands for terms and conditions. Yeah, comrades, eh? You know, they use many terms. Let's allow the team to take us through. Probably you might want to take us through, including the on slide 7, because it's still section 3A, please.
Thank you, Jane. Yeah, on the one hand, the first slide is in fact the support that was given to some standardized terms. And the PMA strongly recommended that all terms and conditions actually be standardized, especially working hours, safety, insurance, and conditions. So my comment on that is that this is the type of thing that will be included in your standard terms that are prescribed. Your regulations will look at these things. And we need to keep in mind that things like working hours, safety, those are part of your labor relations. So quite likely, the minister's regulation will read something to the effect that it must comply with the necessary labor legislation, and the minister could perhaps give a few examples. But it's better for that to be in the regulations than set out in your act itself. And then also, the SAGA was indicating that it must be your basic minimum protections. And the comment is just this is, in fact, then what we are trying to achieve with that. Then the comments from IPO, FIAPF, RISA, and SAIIPL was that a formal agreement should never be forced on a sector. There must be fair and reasonable practices, but you should rather have your trade associations, your organizations of producers and performers recommending the standard terms. Now, the standard terms are simply the essentials of a contract. When you enter into a sale agreement, you know that you must know who's the seller, who's the buyer, what's the purchase price, and what are you buying. Then you can add things like when must the purchase price be paid, and that then turns into either a credit agreement or a cash agreement. So those are the simple essentials of a contract, and that is what will be prescribed. There will be sufficient flexibility. And when the minister prescribes standard terms, then trade associations and organizations will be consulted, and they will be able to give their input. The problem is to leave it to these trade associations and organizations is exactly the situation that we have now that the committee is not satisfied with. Then there was also a comment that your standard compulsory standard terms is simply not justified, as there is no market failure that requires it. And I think that the committee has the answer, but there is, in fact, a market failure here. There's clearly something not right in the sector when it comes to the agreements that performers enter into. Then there was, again, the concern about equitable remuneration. But I think we've already discussed on equitable remuneration, that is the term used by the treaty and so on. Then there was also a comment that existing contracts already have suitable provisions for remuneration. And again, no, that is actually not the case. It is clearly not something that is there. DJ, I can maybe give a little bit more information on that. We've had an informal discussion that perhaps we could relook at the way that the bill is worded. The word compulsory might maybe be something that is making people uncomfortable. The point is that what the committee wants is that there must be minimum standards for what must be in a contract. So perhaps we can just relook at the wording, make sure that that is what we're still saying, but maybe it's worded in a more palatable way. I don't know if Peter maybe wants to chair. Sorry, Sue.
Thank you, Chair. I think the agreement is a very important part of the arrangements for the performers. And for that reason, we need to ensure that the way that it is crafted in the bill, it does not give an impression that the minister has been given too much powers and he's interfering with contractual freedom issues, because the interpretation from the submissions, the way they interpreted the way the drafting is as though the minister has been given too much wider powers and interfering. And we just want to clarify that we are not saying that there should be prescription of a contract itself, but just minimum requirements to guide the performance. And we think that over and above what is in the bill or in the act going forward, we would like to ensure that there are those education and awareness programs for performers to ensure that they know their rights, because contracts are contracts in our daily operations, but for them it's another thing that they are not so well aware of, that they need to be educated about what could be their rights and even the education and awareness about the bill itself. Thank you, Chair.
Colleagues, let's just look at this one quickly. I see Honourable Mkwati, then Honourable Comrade Williams. Comrade Mkwati.
Chair, thank you. I agree with the notion that we put standard contracts. We have, over the past, watched artists being victimized. We've been saying this all over again. I don't even think we must talk about it now. The department knows where the committee stands on the matter.
But then, Comrade Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I agree with the Honourable Montage. I think that we should definitely specify protection for performers. We shouldn't let the performers, whoever, come up with some sort of mechanism, because we've seen now that this bill only exists because of this non-protection that performers are currently having. So we can't just repeat, keep status quo. We have to have strong minimum requirements that have to be met so that our performers can at least get so and such and such. Not like a wishy-washy thing. We must start, causing our performers to actually make some money out of the work that they're doing in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I think that even when we discussed with the other bill we had, we said that perhaps the minister cannot prescribe a contract between the two people who are, but there are certain minimum conditions which must be met. Just like the issue of the ceding of rights of a performer. We cannot agree, whatever contract, we cannot lead to that. I think that one must be minimum protection, that there's no way in which, even if there's anything, that the performer is going to cede his or her rights to that person. But it can be regulated moving forward on a particular scale. Thank you.
No, thanks. The committee has spoken. They are very clear. Let's not lose the essence. In the main, the people that have responded as in the main are not individual performers, are more about association and other people. And the reason why we took the attitude we took is that respecting contractual law has been our problem. It must be respected because that's the kind of jurisprudence we have. But there is nothing wrong in law that the regulator or the policymaker make what we call it general conditions of contract. And those general conditions of contract is a model contract and is compulsory. We are not going to remove the word compulsory. We are not going to remove the word compulsory. It will remain. The minister then will prescribe the general conditions, which you call them minimum. In addition to that, so that you don't bring rigidity, then people can enter into special conditions. But the minimums is something that is applicable even right now, even in the tendering system of the Republic of South Africa. All those contracts you sign, whether it's a PSP contract, whether it's a FIDIC in terms of the Red Book, engineering one, there are general conditions. The general conditions are the one that ensures that the soundness issues of exploitations are not there. And they must be met. It's minimum. We're not defining maximum. Then if they want to do maximum, let them enter into specific conditions, because sectors and other things, they vary. Let's be clear on that one. We're not budging on it. We are here actually discussing this because of that experience. The other problem we have is when there is a service, there is a contract entered into between two bodies or two parties, but then there is a third party that gets to be subcontracted. Then this other one starts to misbehave and exploit. These are some of the things that even the regulation, when they take into account, in as much as you want to respect that there is an existing contract between two bodies, but if ultimately I'm the main client and I find that people that are actually subcontracted by the person that gives me a service, we will have to find in a skillful way, but in a legal way, the ability to intervene. And we knew these people, they came here. They were sitting where we are sitting today, or in the other room. I can't remember these rooms. But where people are just like, there's a broker in between. And the broker abuses people. And we can't be a country that allows an injustice. If the law is wrong, that's why the lawmakers are here. I think we're clear on this one. We remain steadfast. That's at the center. Why are we doing this? The treaties, I can hear, we're trying to be international compliant, but it must be within our own conditions. We must ratify what actually protects our national interest, and more importantly, sovereignty, but while we're thinking globally, because we're part of the global village. Agreed to, comrades? Agreed. We go to the next page 8. We are very progressive, comrades. Comrades from Mpumalanga, Gersibande and Hlanze. I belong between the two of you. Can we proceed, comrade, on page 8? On page 8 is the same thing around equal remuneration, subject to the contract. Comrade Ndoso, I'm going to delete the Mhlangano Mantetha. I'm in a capacity to do that. This one, there were no specific inputs. Ne? We proceed on this one. Agreed to? Thank you. Now we're on slide number 9. With recording and reporting plus offences, we look at clause for... No. Comrade Lerat, is this one. The numbering is there. It's on the bottom of your right hand. But we are having some assistive devices, I guess. We look at clause 4C, section 5, subsection 1A, will allow advocate to take us through. And she will also move to slide number 10 on the other side. We still speak to clause 4C, but this time around is section 5, subsection 1B. We're taking the two at the same time. Advocate, take us through.
Thank you, Jim. What we are dealing with here is similar to what we had in the Copyright Amendment Bill, where someone uses a work. They need to record that they have used it, when they have used it. They need to report on that, and then the failure is made an offence. So the first comment that we received was that this recording and reporting should only apply where there are actual licensed use. In other words, it must be a licensed user who, for commercial purposes, uses the work, must record and report. Now, for commercial purposes implies that there is a license. Otherwise, you are infringing. So I don't think it's necessary to add the licensing there, But I suppose it could be clarified a bit more. It is possible to do so. And here I'm asking that the DTI advise on that point, whether it is necessary or whether they are of the view that to them it is also as clear as it is to me. Then there's also that you're, again, the issue of the licensor, that you should only be reporting to the licensor instead of perhaps to the performer, etc. But the problem is that it's not necessarily always going to be the same person that you have an agreement with. So that is why there were more than one option given, but again, DGI can advise whether we should perhaps and recommend to the committee whether we should make some changes there. Then there was a concern that by doing this, by requiring this recording and reporting, you are taking exclusive rights and you're making them remunerative rights. Now, this is something that has come up a number of times in copyright, but we are also having this exact same reporting function in the Copyright Act. So I don't see why it should necessarily be different in performance protection. Then there was also a comment that what we are implying by this bill is that as long as a person records and reports, then you don't need authorization. But that cannot be correct because it's for commercial use. It implies that there must be authorization because if you are commercially exploiting a work, someone can ask you, well, where is your authority to make these copies, to distribute these copies, and so on. So I do not think that is a fair or a reasonable interpretation of the clause. Then there was a request that we should not only have for where a person is intentional, it should also be where a person is negligent, negligently fails to record, negligently fails to report. The problem with negligence is that it is quite wide. And, I mean, any accident that we pass by on the road, 99% of those are negligence. It does happen. Negligence, that is why there is the standard of negligence. And normally when we look at criminal actions that are made criminal, is intent is normally the measure that is used for that crime. And intent is actually quite wide. There's not just the direct intent, the intent of I am now not going to report, and that is simply that. Intent goes much broader. So for instance, and we'll see it, the next comment in fact, is the provisions are so burdensome. MultiChoice was explaining in their submission the number of times a matter might be aired and how difficult it would be for them to report on this. Now, if MultiChoice understands that it's going to be difficult to report on this, we can expect them to put systems in place so that they will be able to properly and accurately report. It's as simple as that. If they fail to do so, then that is also intent. That is a form of intent. So my recommendation to the committee would be that venturing with criminality into the area of negligence is very dangerous. And I would recommend that we remain with intent. There is sufficient coverage and sufficient leeway under intent to provide for those instances where a person actually should have known better to do what should be done. Then, like I said, the next one was just about the fact that it's burdensome. And my comment is just you need to also balance the burden with the problem. And the problem is quite big. It is something that this committee has more than once made reference to. On the next slide 10, this then deals with the criminalisation and the minimum fines. There was a general welcoming of the criminalisation of non-reporting as it is a key problem. So there are definitely organisations that welcome it. MultiChoice was said that why would this be a criminal offence and the minimum fines are draconian in nature. What I would propose here is that we do something similar to what we did in the Copyright Amendment Bill, where we allow a discretion to the court. So where the court finds that there are justifiable circumstances that says substantial circumstances why a person should be getting less than the minimum sentence, then a court can make that decision, but the court will have to make a record of that. So that would be from my side, would be the recommendation. Let us allow a discretion for the courts. It is something that the courts will be very careful to exercise. But in respect of the amount, the percentage involved, that is a policy decision. That is not something that I can really advise the committee on. Thank you.
Let's allow the DDG to come in. There were three areas of just having a view, and the last one.
Thank you, Chair. We are saying from a policy stance that the reporting should be for those who use it for commercial purpose. And we are a bit cautious that if we limit it to licensed, there might be abuse to the system, meaning that others can use it commercially but not be licensed. So we think that it should be left as it is, but we are aware that it's not for everyone. It will be those who are using this, like your malls, your bars, and so on, and it should be licensed. But we are not saying, and then the concern that if we make it a requirement, there will be abuse. We think that that is not necessarily going to be the case. The fact that we are putting this framework in place in a regulatory manner will ensure that this big challenge where our performers are not remunerated fairly will be addressed. And we think that this should, it should remain. And the who should it be, who should the report be going to? Not only the licensor, we agree with the advocate. It should be left as it is in the bill to make allowance for that flexibility. And we want to make sure that we don't make create restrictions that are going to be difficult to enforce going forward. So this is, I think, what we have. It's appropriate. And in terms of the massiveness of the penalties itself, whether the criminalization element, we think that as in the copyright legislation, that proposal to make it lighter with the minimum penalties, we should also do the same in this regard. And downgrading of the remuneration rights versus the other rights, we think that we are providing for the economic rights for performers and extending the rights on the extending the moral rights, and we don't see that conflict between the downgrading of the rights of remuneration versus the exclusive rights. So we think there is an alignment, and that we are providing more for our performers with this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I think that this is a very similar clause to the previous one. If we don't get tough on this, what's going to happen is nothing's going to change. People are going to continue using performers' work and making money from it, and they're not going to get their remuneration. I think we should be really tough on this, and we shouldn't step down from the criminalization of non-compliance. We should be hectic. We're here to protect these performers. That's why this bill is specifically for this. It seems that we keep getting pushed back and back and back, and we mustn't allow that to happen. We must remember that these inputs that have been coming in that are all anti these little clauses are all coming from the people who are exploiting our performers. So I think that we should start bearing in mind that what this committee wants to do is protect our performers from the massive exploitation that they have been getting over the last decades. And so this is why this bill is here. And I don't think that we should step back and make anything minimum sentences and minimum fines. I think it should be hectic if you don't report. Thank you.
Honourable Comrade Mkwati.
Chair, I align myself with Honourable Williams. I listen to the tone of multi-choice here. And my mind is taken aback that when we were trying to enforce a compliance with equity in bigger companies, they used to budget to pay a penalty other than complying with the regulation. So this is what is practiced by Max Choice here when they make this input on this bill. And I align myself with Honorable Williams.
Okay, thank you. The view that is being shared by members is that the word license, it becomes restrictive or it creates exceptions. we allow it to remain broad, because where there is commercialization, should remain. They went around criminal liability members. They say they wanted to remain, but members, we have been advised that the word negligence should be taken out to keep intent. We put the word intent because negligence, it can be a cumbersome process. And then the issue around the penalties, we agree the insertion of the copyright amendment bill. And then that discretion, we need to be fair. Those are the ones that we're giving you. And remember, and I'm happy the manner you handle the issues, colleagues and comrades, there is too much intercorrelation between the two pieces of laws that we're working on. Should we close that way? Agreed to? Agreed. Now we are taking clause, and just one of the things that we should just mention, colleagues and the department, the quality of the regulations will be able to make this piece as an important relief. And if these regulations are crafted in a manner that are not actually assisting to find the balance, but send a very strong signal that injustice, irrespective where it comes from, irrespective how big is your capital, it has to come to an end. We fought against injustices. Therefore, we cannot continue to have our people who are in this industry. Therefore, the question of regulation, I think as members, you need to take more interest, because it's the mechanics of the rules of the game, how the game should be played, and everybody should start to adhere to that. We'll go to slide 11, clause 6, which now talks to regulation, section 8D, subsection 3, and subsection 4. That's what we'll deal with now. Let's allow the advocate to take you through, colleagues.
Thank you, Jim. Clause 6, section 8D, provides that the minister must make regulations for the compulsory and standard contractual terms, that's the one, and then guidelines for a performer to grant consent under the Act. The concerns that were raised, there are two points, but they are mainly the same, in fact, is that it is too broad, it's unilateral powers to the minister, you can't have the minister regulate contractual dealings, etc., etc. But what I think the submitters miss is that we must look at the introductory sentence in the proposed subsection 3. It says that the minister must make regulations prescribing compulsory and standard contractual terms, which contractual terms must include, and then we list them. So it does not say that the minister must say what are the rights of the performer, what are the rights of the producer, or what are the royalties. No, the minister must simply prescribe and say these are the things that must be in your contract. You cannot start working without knowing how much you're going to be paid. You can't start working without knowing what your rights are. So I think the concern is unfounded. It is not that the minister will be prescribing what the contract must look like. The minister will be saying these are the essentials that must be in a contract. Jay, that is all on the regulation.
This one, comrades, we have dealt with it. Remember, we spoke about minimum conditions and standard. You know that thing is allowed, except that it there are certain things it can't prescribe. But the general conditions or those minimum standard, they will have to align to certain important things and other legislations. That's why you are correct, advocate, when you read to say minimally it must have these kind of areas of focus. But when the regulations are being done, they must be able to be explained how should they look like without putting the issues of quantum. Because you can't have a regulation that doesn't have a model contract and allowing that proviso for special condition in addition to these minimums, what else they want to enter into. The issues of contract law does allow that. We'll move, comrades, to slide 12, technological protection measures and copyright management information. It's clause 7, section 8E and to 8H. We'll allow advocate to take you through.
Thank you, Chair. These clauses deal with the digital protection. What our bill initially said is that it referred the reader to the Copyright Act and said you must, in respect of digital protection, you must read the Copyright Act. So what we did was we took the clauses from the Copyright Act and we put it into this bill. And I think the same arguments that were raised in copyright, namely that there's not sufficient protection for digital rights, is now being raised here. And I think there is maybe where DTI can speak to it. When we discussed amongst ourselves the base for what the bill is proposing, as I understand it, is we've never had protection for digital rights. So let us first, baby steps, get in there, see how it works, evaluate, monitor, and then you can maybe go a bit broader. Then there was a comment that there's no definition provided for these terms that are now being inserted, and I do agree with the submitter. Because we've now pulled the clause into the performance protection, we did not pull the definition from the Copyright Amendment Bill. So what I would propose is that we make definitions, and it can simply be by reference to the Copyright Act. That is not a problem, but that we pull those definitions in.
As long as it doesn't mean we still have to go out again and solicit another input while our people are suffering. If I can get that assurance, I don't want us to bring things here. Then we have to go back, and then this thing becomes in perpetuity. Comrade Williams.
Thank you, Chair. I just want some clarity on, you said that there was no protection on the digital sound, whatever, and you wanted to look at it first and then see what happens. Are you proposing that later on there should be another amendment to this bill in order to bring those protections in place? That's the question.
She says, Chief, that this thing is already covered on the Copyright Amendment Bill. Sufficient input was solicited. If we can make a reference to it, but others, they say, no, just pull it here so that at least you don't do the cross-referencing. Let me allow Comrade Bungane, then the team to respond, and then we proceed.
Chair, I was going to suggest that let the department also make an input before we respond.
No. So we have discipline. We have Hermosa with people of Free State and Pumala. Your last comment on this one, DDG and Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. What we have is that we have this provided for in the copyright legislation, in the bill, and we have extended them into the performance. And what we are saying is that we would recommend that we don't tighten the TPM too much because they talk to access. So we need to have a balance between protection and access. And because of that, that's why we are saying maybe let's see how this will work, the implementation. Because some of the concerns that we have received about tightening this TPMs may not necessarily be what is expected now. It might be that there are concerns, but then as we implement, they are not really real concerns. So we are saying let's just roll it out and explore how it is going to be. But we think that it is sufficiently covered for. But I will request through you, Chair, if it's okay, for Ms. Parayachi to come in and say something about this.
Okay, Ms. Padias. Okay. TPM, comrades, they mean technological protection measures. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree with the presenters before me. It's about striking the appropriate balance. As you'll recall, in the Copyright Amendment Bill, we've introduced exceptions and limitations for educational purposes. So when we refer to access, the TPM locks the work up to protect the author, rightly so, which we have incorporated into the bill. But we don't want that protection to be so stringent that the education sector and all the exceptions we've introduced cannot be implemented because the work will be locked and access will then be denied.
Agreed to agreed. Yeah. Okay, Mkwazi, then Williams. No, Comrade Williams.
Chair, there's a new abbreviation that I don't understand. They talk about TPR or TPMs or TPF. But they must not be... That they are too much for us. We don't understand what they're saying now. Unless they want to rob us of anything.
Yeah, basically, because of them quite a technological protection measure. You know, the government people, they have way too many abbreviations. You work with them every time, new environment, new terms. Comrade Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm still a bit skeptical about this because of the fact that I understand in the copyright legislation that we want to protect schools from using documents, etc., etc., but this is the Performance Protection Bill. So I'd like to know in what context you think we should allow the free use of performers' work in order to... I want you to explain to me where that would happen, where it would be necessary to freely use a performer's work in an educational field or somewhere like that. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about here. Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Williams, DDG. Or Padias.
Okay, so we need to also keep in mind it's the first time that both pieces of legislation are introducing digital rights into the bill. So if you want to quote a play or view, the school sometimes takes kids to watch plays, live performances. We want them to use a part of what F1 analysis or to write a review in that sort of content, but not go and record that performance and now start streaming it to your friends. No, we're not creating that loophole in the legislation.
It's fine, comrades. Let's do this now. You know what? In the main, there is no change that has been proposed what to set out. But the point the members are raising is that let's never lose the point. In as much as we are piggybacking on the Copyright Amendment Bill, but there is some peculiarity in certain instances when we want to deal with the question of performance. The question around technology is a matter that we need to be able to really, really to say, as South Africa, what do we do? Because all the time when you do legislation, especially this one we are amending, because we are amending because there might be an evolution over some time, or they might be doing an amendment because there is a problem. For an example, technology has evolved. The manner technology has evolved, how do you actually do the production, how do you do the distribution and so forth, the platform is becoming a platform that is not easy to regulate. And it gives you endless opportunities. But equally so, it's a space that if it is not properly regulated, how you do business in that space, the vulnerability levels, the exposure in terms of risk is an issue we need to look at. But we'll proceed on this one. We are now on slide 13 on offences. We've spoken on offences, clause A, section 9, there's nothing new there. The provisional arrangement, there's nothing new. Then we go to the last slide. Slide 14. The advocate wants to make a general comment. Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. I've also, in some of my previous presentations, added this little slide in the end, because I sometimes feel that both copyright and performance protection is being so badgered by big companies. The submissions that we receive are so negative. The media reports that we see are so negative. So when I came across this comment from one of the submitters, I thought I needed to point it out to members that people are saying it is bringing us in line with international standards and will help protect performers from abuse.
Colleagues, we've come to an end of this part, but no, we need to, comrades, don't pack your bags. Comrades, we agreed so that we don't get misinterpreted. On definition, there was a view about the on the question of fixation to have audiovisual fixation and sound recording. In other ways, the drafted must ensure that it is included so, but there are certain areas the word fixation will remain. On definition again, there is a question around the issues of legal entity, where there is a word person, and in our own South African law, the word person refers to both natural and legal persons, no change. The word producer will not change because there is a compliance with international law. On clause 2, the issues of adding pre-purchase fee or residual contract, we are not changing anything. Equitable remuneration remains. There are other aspects where people want to do a pre-purchase, a whatever arrangement or residual. The contractual law will come into the picture. On distribution right, nothing changes. On the standard and minimum contracts, the word compulsory remains because we understand what it means. And the regulations will be very clear because there are certain areas of this minimum that must take into consideration. Then the same thing around standard contracts. On equal remuneration subject to contract, no changes have been proposed. Then on the recording and reporting and offences, clearly defined, the only issue we change is the issues of negligence into intent. The issues of the discretion of the courts will be borrowed from the Copyright Amendment Bill to ensure that the courts have the discretion necessary to make the decisions. On the regulations, there is nothing except that the regulations must be tighter and so that it's able to ensure that we strike the necessary balance that is there. On TPMs, technological protection measures, and CMI, copyright management information, comrades, is more about information and technology. No change there. But the issues that are captured in the Copyright Amendment Bill are very assistive in this section. There is nothing new then that will require now that we seek another view from the public. Your views are captured and the drafting team must be able to consolidate. And your views are only technical, let me use the word. They are not substantive, comrades, but important. That's how it will look like. We want to thank on behalf of ourselves those people who were able to respond timelessly on our request after we granted the permission to advertise the areas we have advertised. Thank the team for the hard work of putting these things together, and we are now at that particular stage where we should no longer linger before the sun sets on us. We need to start moving. We conclude that first part. Agreed to? Siyavumelana, comrade. We had an intention to do clause by clause. And it's not a long process. This is a small bill, comrade, excluding the other issues. Advocate, you take us through. Thank you. We should be out in the next 20, 25 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. If we look at the first clause, these are our definitions. So sorry, I just want to get the screen a little bit bigger there. So our first clause deals with this. I'm not going to go through the long title. Long title will change depending on the decisions of the committee in respect of the clauses. So section 1 deals with our definitions. Definitions that we've included is that for audiovisual fixation, we have changed the definition of broadcast. We are proposing the deletion of the definition of cinematograph film, and this is because that will now become the audiovisual fixation. So it's an old term, that's why it's being deleted.
Agreed to. No, but it's what we were discussing just a few minutes ago. Lerato.
Sure, thanks. You mean we are agreeing in principle, we're not taking...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you must indicate.
The one we were making decision. It's in principle agreement so that we move the other processes. You move, advocate.
Thank you, Jay. And then the next definition is something that was in the bill, but it had too long a phrase. The long phrase was not actually used in the bill. So we have just shortened it a bit there, the communication to the public, and then of the two types, of a performance or of a sound recording. Also deleting the definition of fixation, like I've explained before, it's because we have audiovisual fixation and sound recording, so we do not need that anymore. Changing the definition of performance, and actually we're just making provision for traditional work there. Changing the definition of performer, and the same there, making provision for the traditional works. then adding a definition for producer, because our bill is much more focused on the producer than your copyright owner. That is not, we don't have copyright owners here, we have the producer. Then a substitution for reproduction, and the insertion of sound recording, and making sure that the definition for tribunal is aligned to what it is now in the Copyright Amendment Bill. Chair, shall I first stop there?
Colleagues, those were just the amendments you have looked at. Should we proceed? Honourable Teko?
Minor question. I see, Advocate, the years on the copyright. It's sort of like it's deleted. I don't know what is the meaning of that. Are we going to quote it as Copyright Act only without the other stuff or how?
Advocate?
Gee, the Copyright Act is actually defined in the IP Laws Amendment Act. And so when we amend, we can't use the full title of the Copyright Amendment Act anymore, the Copyright Act anymore. So we just talk about the Copyright Act. But because the IP Laws Amendment Bill is not yet operational, you will note it in our transitional provisions that we are saying until it comes into operation, Copyright Act means, and then we give the full name of the Act.
Clarified, we conclude on the issues of the introduction of the bill there. We go to the next page, sections 3 and so forth.
Clause 2 amends Section 3, and all that it actually does is creating those economic rights that we spoke about. So there's a long list of how it can work, transferring. you still have certain rights in respect of after a transfer in Subsection 2. Subsection 3, after the death, how does that work? Subsection 4, then it lists the actual right, broadcasting, communication to the public, and so on. Jane, that is actually what Clause 2 deals with.
Your Excellencies and comrades, any of you? The one ticked in blue, those were just technical issues that had to be made after listening to everything. Agreed to? Agreed. We go to page 5, Section 3, Clause 3.
Thank you, Jane. Here we are inserting two new sections. The one deals with transfer of rights, 3A, and the 3B deals with protection of rights of producers of sound recordings. The transfer of rights is simply to say that if a performer has consented to fixation of a performance, then there are certain, the exclusive rights that performer had will then be transferred to the producer of that audiovisual fixation. Then subsection 2 speaks about how the consent must be done, must be a written agreement, do this transfer, of course. Subsection 3 speaks to what the contract must look like. In section 3B, this speaks then to the producer, who is also the owner of copyright in that sound recording, and then what the rights are, so the direct or indirect reproduction, making available to the public, and so on. Then subsection 2 speaks to the equal remuneration, where this, where the performer and the producer of the sound recorder, they will have the right to equal remuneration.
Okay, colleagues, you can see the matter you spoke to around the question of compulsory and standard contractual terms is covered in 3A. You remember the things you are raising yourselves. Should we proceed? Agreed to? Agreed. We are on page 6. Now we are dealing with the amendment of section 5 of the Act, clause 4.
Chair, the first paragraph in clause 4, 4A, substitutes subsection 1 of section 5. Section 5 deals with limitations on the rights. So without, no one may without the consent of the performer, and then we have a whole list of items there. It includes making available to the public, commercially rent out, distributing, and so on. So that is what paragraph A deals with. Over on page 7, paragraph B then further speaks to limitations in respect of audiovisual fixations or sound recordings, and what are the limits there, and that you need permission to do these certain things, broadcast, sell, commercially rent out. Paragraph C inserts subsection 1A. This is our recording and reporting section. So this is where we are talking about if you intend to do, and when we list all of these things, you must register that act in the prescribed manner and form, you must report on it, and so on. So paragraph, on the next page, page 8, subsection 1B, then speaks to the offence. So if you have failed to record or to report, then you shall be guilty of an offence, liable to a fine, and how the turnover will be assessed. Paragraph D is just making a couple of consequential amendments in respect of audiovisual fixation and sound recording. Paragraph E corrects the reference to the tribunal because we're now defining the tribunal. Paragraph F on the bottom of that page, over on page 9, this is where we are dealing with, and we are inserting the wording equitable remuneration here so that you have both royalties or the equitable remuneration. So a performer who has authorized this fixation, either audiovisual or sound recording, shall be deemed to have granted these rights and the exclusive rights to receive the royalties, to receive royalties or fair equitable remuneration in respect of any broadcast and so on. The rest of the amendments there are more just to correct the fixed performance, to change to audiovisual fixation or sound recording, payment becoming royalties or equitable remuneration. Paragraph B, in other words, subsection 4, paragraph B, is still just a correction of the tribunal because we are now defining the tribunal. Paragraph G of this clause on page 9 just makes now provision first off for further actions, so the distribution right is added there. So what it then says is that if you make a payment, then if you make the, if you make the payment as it is set out in subsection 4, so just the subsection above that, if you follow all those requirements, then it will be deemed to have been a discharge by the person who broadcasts, transmits, sells, commercially rent out, distributes, or causes communication of the performance. It will discharge the obligation to pay the royalties. And if you have paid to one party, then it will be between the performer and that party to sort it out. Chair, those are all the amendments by clause 4.
On this one, we have, around the offences that we are referring to on page 8, we still have to make that insertion that refers to the discretion of the courts, comrades. Remember, the penalties and so forth, they are clearly defined, but we need to borrow from that other side so that at least in terms of adjudication, the ultimate arbiters on these matters. Therefore, we'll insert that part. If you can just note that, it deals with the reporting, the offences, including the question of the distribution. Are we still together? Agreed to? Thank you. We're still on page 9. Now amendment of section 8, but we're on clause 5.
Thank you, Chief. This section 8, the main amendment is definitely consequential in nature. So it deals with that fixation changing to audiovisual fixation or sound recording. And then the addition there in the end, so what it says in subsection 2 is a performance or audiovisual fixation sound recording may be used without the consent if it is for, and then it was a list already in the Act, and we add it now for purposes which are regarded as exceptions in terms of the Copyright Act. So in other words, we are just bringing in the changes that the Copyright Act has made. So on page 10, then, the paragraph B of this clause is just further those consequential amendments in relation to fixation versus audiovisual fixation or sound recording. And then we are also deleting the exceptional documentary character because we have now provided for the overall copyright exception.
Colleagues and comrades, on 9 is more about those issues raised. You remember the fixation, the issues of breaking it down to audiovisual and sound recording. More importantly, on 2A to F, the exceptions. Remember the exception that people were seeing on the other work we have done with exception and limitations. And the other one is just consequential. Agreed to? Agreed. We are still on page 10. We take clause 6, amendment of section 8D of the main act. Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. This one we've actually discussed quite in detail on the slides as well. This deals with the regulations that the Minister may make in respect of compulsory and standard contractual terms and in respect of guidelines for performers when granting consent.
Your Excellencies and comrades, you had just discussed this matter a few minutes ago. Agreed to? Agreed. We're still on page, we were on page 7. No, page 10. At least you are still around, comrades. That's very good. Well, on page 10, moving to page 11. On page 10, we're looking at clause 7. And then it continues to the other parts. Yeah, let's just deal with 7. And it looks like the whole of 7 is deleted. Okay, it's being replaced, but let's allow the advocate to take you through. Quite here, we check the page, but Kulumangale, they have a visit TPM, technological protection measures and that management information. Let's take them through quickly, advocate, until we end on page 18 at the top. That's how we'll move. Agreed to, let's allow it.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, what we are doing here is we are simply where the bill initially referred to sections 28Q, 28R of the Copyright Amendment Bill. We have taken those sections and put them in here. So 8E deals with prohibited conduct in respect of technological protection measures, 8F with exceptions in respect of technological protection measures. Over on page 12, section 8G, then deals with prohibited conduct in respect of copyright management information, and 8H with exceptions in respect of copyright management information, and that then goes over onto page 13.
Your Excellencies and members, we have just dealt with the matter some more than 20 minutes ago. You remember the TPMs and others, CMIs. Are you still around? No, we are misrepresenting that. That era is called city of Iqala. Ungayi reduce man. Agreed to? Comrade Langwena, are you still around? No, she agrees. She's not opposition, she's part of you, man, comrade. They say umakoti funeka angathethi kakhulu. They want to hear your voice, comrade Langwena.
If I agree, what should I say?
Yes.
Because in all of those things, we were part of the process. We have agreed out. It's pointless to saying one thing over and over. No makota itete kakhulu kalo.
Agreed to. Thank you. We're on page 13. On page 13, we're looking at clause 8, amendment of section 9.
Thank you, Chair. What we have here is that the bill referred in respect of offences and the penalties for offences to Section 9. But when we looked at Section 9, it was very limited. So we needed to amend Section 9 so that we can now provide for the contraventions of Sections 8, E, F, G, or H, and then also for a fine in respect of that. So that is just the amendment. It's a lot of paragraphs underneath each other, but it is simply because we are taking out the word and we're putting in a semicolon. So it's a very technical type of amendment, but the crux of it is that we are adding the offence for contravening sections 8E, 8F, 8G, or 8H, and then providing for a penalty in that paragraph F, the insertion of subparagraph 4 to say a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years or both.
Colleagues and comrades, you can see there, Comrade Williams, the teeth you want. Who knowingly contravenes, knowingly is an intent, contravenes the provisions of this section. Then you will go for a fine or an imprisonment. It looks serious. Agreed to? That's very positive. We are still on page 13. We're on clause 9, amendment of certain expressions there. Just quickly, advocate.
Thank you, Chair. What we're simply doing here is because the word phonogram is replaced with the word sound recording and the word fixation is replaced, in fact, also with sound recording, because remember the bill is now only providing for audiovisual. This is just to make sure that the principal act then follow suit, because the Principal Act, not all the sections are being amended by this bill. So if a section in the Principal Act is not being amended by this bill and it has the word phonogram or fixation in it, then it will automatically be amended.
It's consequential because of the other things you have done. Agreed to? Agreed. We're still on page 13. We're looking at clause 10 on the issue of transitional provision. It goes until page 14.
Thank you, Chair. The reason for the transitional provision is because of the IP Laws Amendment Act not being promulgated. So if we want to use the definitions, we need to bring them in here. So the transitional provision, the first part, provides for a number of definitions, and we actually realized as we were adding definitions, how we needed to add more and more and more and more because they interplayed with each other. But so all of that list on page 13, 14 is simply definitions. Paragraph B there, the second part of this transitional provision, is because Section 8D of our Principal Act is inserted by the IP Laws Amendment Act. 8D deals with regulations. It's the only section that deals with regulations. So we had to find a way to bring it into operation without bringing it into operation. So you will see that if you put in a deeming provision, it is deemed to be operational, but the minister may only make the regulations in subsections 3 and 4 as inserted by this bill.
Comrades, it's just more about how the transitional arrangement and those weddings clearly being defined. Are you agreed to? Mm-hmm. Agreed to. The last one is clause 11, is more about the title, the commencement date, and we are of the view that looking at our parliamentary process, probably the president might assent this into law by next year, before the end of the fifth administration of fifth parliament. Is it voting? You know, comrades, some of us, we came late here. We still have Happy is working hard to orientate me. I nearly left you. Then we are on page 15. Page 15, there is nothing there. We're done. Before I take any hand, we must reflect so that we don't have issues. On the reflection now, there were just minor amendments. Really, it was in the introduction is the word called the audiovisual and sound recording. Remember that. We also retained most of the things, except where there was a question around offenses and so forth. On the offenses, after the word criminal liability, we are removing negligence to intent. And then towards the end, in terms of all these other issues, is to borrow on the offences, the role of the courts is not something that we can say it's a longer issue. What will happen is that the drafting team now, especially they've done probably 99 point something of the work, they will just deal with that one or two issues that you raised. Then you, as members of the committee next week, you can look at those issues. But on that day when we meet, we're actually getting to the day of going clause by clause for adoption. That's where we're going when we come back. That's the process. That will include your creed. I don't know the program, how it looks next week. I'm saying the next meeting, it will look at that, so that we look for the prints and deal with the accuracy of that. I see, Comrade Bungane, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that it has come to our attention that the Deputy President will be answering questions next week.
Someone is trying to hack my phone. I suspect it's me.
No, Chair.
We are on the floor.
Next week, the Deputy President will be in the House. When the Deputy President is in the House, I think it's going to be drill and whip. So I think that the Secretariat must roll out what is the possible program for next week. Also take into consideration the fact of the availability of the minister in terms of debating these issues in the House. I think that if they can give us what is happening so that we can decide when we are going to meet today, next week.
I think we are correct. What we don't want to, when we are dealing with important issues, there's a disruption. It inconveniences members. Even on the basis that we just have to keep you waiting, it's not okay. We must just apologize for how we arrange our business. We will have to be assisted by the Secretariat now in terms of the program. But we must not miss the point now that one of the things that is a priority now, we have concluded the Copyright Amendment Bill. And in principle, we have agreed on the things. What was outstanding, it was the legal opinion in terms of constitutionality. And it is going to be circulated on Monday. Whether we're meeting or not on Monday, it has to be circulated. And on Tuesday, whatever the proposed time, we are concluding the Copyright Amendment Bill. We adopt. Before we rise on Friday, we'll have concluded the performance protection amendment bill. Those are the main two that must be prioritized, because if we don't do that, we will never feed. It's like, you know what, you work so hard, you can't reach the finishing line. The finishing line must be reached. Let's allow the Secretariat to advise us of the proposed program, and you have a reflection, we determine.
Chairperson, as we agreed yesterday that the committee would want to consider both performers as well as copyright on Thursday, what is scheduled for Thursday is the question to Deputy President. The sitting finished at 5:15, so there's an alternative. We can meet from 5:30 onwards to complete the consideration of both bills, or alternatively, we can meet on the Friday to complete the consideration of both bills. The implication of that is the three-day rule. The minister is available on the 21st of November. The issue of the three-day rule is the application thereof. I'm not so sure, maybe Advocate Van der Merwe can assist. Is the three-day, does it apply from the day we adopt and we count forward, or is it the day the report is in the ATC? So the day the report is published in the ATC. So if the committee meets on Thursday and completes its processes on both bills on Thursday, and we publish in the ATC on Thursday, the debate can then be scheduled. Three-day rule will apply, and the debate can be scheduled for the 25th. Alternatively, the other day the ministry is available is the 27th of November, where we possibly can consider all three bills that we have before us, which is the copyright, performance, and gambling bill. So the decision will be the committee's to see if we proceed on Thursday evening to finalise the performance and the copyright amendment bill. So
what are we doing Thursday morning before the DP answers questions?
Thursday, there's no caucus Thursday morning. On a Thursday morning, there's caucus.
Comrades, can we agree that we do the two of them on Friday? Okay, you want to do after the DP has spoken. Let's get your views, comrades. Okay, let's allow Comrade Whip.
There are a lot of people who don't want this space. So if we don't comply with the three-day rule, it means that it will not be presented it cannot be presented in the House the other week. So the issue is that we can sit on Thursday after the Deputy President. We finish it off and then discuss and show that it is on the ATC that evening. Then we know that we have Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we can debate it. On Wednesday, because if we put it on, if we are going to do it on Friday,
We won't be able to debate on the 21st. Then we'll go to the
21st. Okay, is there a different view to that? If agreed to, you know what, comrades? I don't know. Let's not. We are saying that we'll do them Thursday, but remember that caucuses are starting at 10, and they are finishing at 12. Is it 12? Ne? Past 12. Therefore, let them put the program after the Deputy President has spoken, and we should be able to. The manner we have dealt with the issues, we are not going to stay long. And it will also allow the teams to clean the things well, and every supporting documentation, including that all members, they receive their packages on time. Please. Okay, you can speak, Comrade.
Chair, on the 13th, although we have permission to meet on the 13th during plenary, I'm looking at the program at plenary is consideration of reports, second reading debate on division of revenue bill, second debate of electronic. So there will be a lot of divisions called on these bills. So the question is, we scheduled the Performance Protection Amendment Bill for further consideration. On Friday we need to just to see the final version of the bill. So we may not need to meet on that on the Tuesday. I don't know.
No, comrades. You know, a Tuesday, no meeting. We're not meeting on Tuesday. Already we have made our views. only two issues that are being changed. Is it two or three? Ne? Yeah, we're not meeting.
But the meeting in the morning. We have to meet Tuesday morning.
Okay, there is a meeting Tuesday morning.
Yes.
The Secretariat wants us to do that. What time?
Opinions.
Which legal opinion?
The, on the copyright, remember?
We'll definitely do.
Chair, just if I may.
Okay.
We also received communication from the House Chairperson as well as the Chief Whip that all committees meetings starting on Tuesday going forward from the 13th must start at 11 o'clock. So that's a decision that came from the House Chairperson, so we were instructed to comply with that decision. So our meeting will start at 11 o'clock on Tuesday.
Colleagues, can we do this? Comrade Whip, can we do this? We are considering the legal opinion on Tuesday. And can we also, just to be procedural, advocate so that we don't break the law? The two or three issues we have just given views now on the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, let's include it in the agenda just to show us that we have effected it. So that in principle, we do the in principle. It can take us less than 20 minutes. Let's do those two, but we want to be in the House in the afternoon.
Yes, that's
Wednesday?
Chair, Wednesday we are scheduled to meet on the Gambling Amendment Bill. The morning session is fine. I'm just checking now for the afternoon. The afternoon, there's questions to the peace and security cluster. So, and then after that, there will be probably two consideration of budget view reports. So I think we, for the 2.5 hours, we should be fine before the questions is asked. So we can maybe still meet on Wednesday afternoon from 2 till 4, and then we will not be disturbed by the questions.
No, comrade. Let's not, comrade, and remember, the program says in the morning and in the afternoon. Remember the volume of work that needs to be done. That volume of work in the Gambling Amendment Bill is a small issue. You remember it was the committee issue. If we can meet, comrades, just make a decision. Do we meet in the morning or afternoon? Because it's a small thing that they must come back, the drafting team.
I will suggest you meet in the morning.
There is a proposal that we meet in the morning. Morning, no afternoon session. Then Thursday is the real day.
Yeah, this is the afternoon. October.
That's how your program looks like.
Okay.
Agreed to? Comrades, on behalf of ourselves, we must commend ourselves for the good work and the hard-working team of the drafters, advocate and your team, the DDG and the team DTI, including those South Africans and institutions who made our work valuable by making their inputs. Want to thank you. Meeting remains adjourned. Thank you.